Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queens Sportsbook app and use code HILLS when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older. Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-426-2537.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store or at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
Your voice, your vote. In our democracy, they matter. Make yours count. Get registered, learn the issues, and vote by or on November 3rd. Visit vote411.org. This message is furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Now I get to talk with Bishop's dad, and that eventually is what Big Ant Heron is going to be known as, and I hope that he's ready for that, because that's going to be a thing. What's up, sir?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I guess if Bishop enters a lot in life where I am known as his dad, that it's probably because he has done something prominent, something worthy of note, and something worthy of a bag, hopefully one that's full of cash. So, yeah, I think that'll be a good thing for the entire Heron family if that ends up being the case. I'm all for it.
I agree with you on that. You definitely want it to be something good, and I considering who his parents are, I have no doubt that that is going to be the
case.
He
just turned 3, by the way, so that's why we still got a bit of a
birthday feel.
An uproar. Yeah, like yesterday was his birthday, so it made for, well, you know, what was already a busy sports weekend in Chicago between baseball teams and football team and trying to track college sports for all the different stuff I do, and also having birthday festivities going on for a kid and for a toddler turning 3. So it was a busy weekend in our household.
Sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes today is The Score's Anthony Heron.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Shot City! For the better part of the next 2 hours, I am your voice. Sitting in for the aforementioned Lawrence Holmes, I am Anthony Heron. We are ready for this show today, man, because there is so much Chicago sports news to cover. My thanks to my guy Herb Lawrence for booking a great lineup of guests. You got 2 hours. You only need 2 guests to fill this time with all that we want to discuss here with you related to the Chicago sports scene. It doesn't get much better than what we'll have for you on this show with all the news happening on the South Side and the baseball scene. The man who's really getting folks' hearts aflutter is one of the main baseball insiders in the industry, Bob Nightingale of USA Today. So we will have Mr. Nightingale on the show in just a few short minutes to discuss the happenings on the South Side, the managerial search that is ensuing right now with Rick Hahn, with Kenny Williams, with Mr. Reinsdorf himself. And there's a lot of folks who are trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Not only how will it work out, but the process itself and the names being thrown out there have some folks looking at it with a bit of a Dwayne Johnson eyebrow lift at the moment. So I'm one of those. So very much looking forward to talking to Bob Nightingale about that. Of course, the Bears on tap this weekend as well. The Bears have had their in-season case of COVID. The Carolina Panthers having some in-season COVID concerns, as well as the NFL at large is dealing with. And we're going to have Jonathan Vilma on the show a little bit later. He's going to be calling the game for Fox Sports. He's already called a couple of Bears games this season. So looking forward to talking to Jonathan Vilma, just getting his take on where things stand with the football club here in Chicago as well. So there's a lot for us to delve into, to dive into. Let me make sure I got my twitch.com up here as well. Folks can see me out there in the Twitch world. And I did, as I was siphoning through a few different shirt options, I did get around to, as I was on with Danny Parkins in the afternoons throughout the week last week, I ended up talking about some of the various eating challenges that I've done, and that topic came up. And I did reference Big Judd's, this burger place out in Boise. They don't like you to call it Boise, out in Boise, Idaho. And so I threw my Big Judd's shirt on today for the folks out in the Twitch world. You can check that out. That was where, if you remember, I was on with Parko last week talking about my Rod Woodson story at the burger spot. And them, let's just say they misinformed me about how things are supposed to go with the rules at Big Judd's, and me demolishing their burger challenge. And for some reason, they still saw fit to not try and guarantee me my winnings. You know, when you defeat a challenge like that, you want to make sure the folks give you what you earned. But I ended up digressing, and the better part of valor was just to leave there. I paid for the burgers, and they still threw the picture on the wall. I still got my T-shirt out of it, but didn't go exactly as expected. But I figured, you know what, I was talking about it on the air last week amongst a number of different potential eating challenges. So I threw my Big Judd shirt on so the Twitch audience could check that out.
Twitch.
That's right, Twitch. And I didn't have any Twitch experience, by the way, before doing this, before being on here with some of the stuff we're doing here at the Score the last few weeks. I don't know. Maybe I'll start my own personal Twitch account at some point. But we'll see how that part ends up playing out. But with the topics on today's show, a couple of angles that I want to make sure we end up taking things. And Bob Nightingale, in addition to just being an insider, having inside knowledge of how things are going with the team at the moment, he's also done some writing really over the years about managerial practices, about the hiring process, about whether or not enough minorities end up getting considered for jobs like this. And if they do, what types of jobs are they? And that's one thing that stood out to me specific to Rick Renteria. And, you know, it's happened with him now on both sides of the city, both ends of town, both with the Cubs and then now with the Sox. And it was really a running joke pretty much the entire time that Ricky had this gig. Was, all right, they're going to give him a little bit of time, and then they're going to let him kind of steer the ship through the down phase of this rebuild. And then when it's actually winning time and they start to accumulate some talent, they're probably going to do to him what the Cubs did to him and move on to a different manager. And I think that there is certainly a representative case to be made for why Ricky is not the perfect manager, why Rick Renteria maybe isn't even the best guy to continue to steer this ship. I think for the results out there on the field, from a win and loss perspective, from a productivity perspective, we're all pretty exceptional this season with the Sox. So I would imagine that Rick Renteria is probably sitting somewhere, maybe at home, maybe on a boat, or wherever Rick tends to spend his time these days now that he's no longer the skipper on the South side, that he's probably looking at it like, man, I did everything this ball club, everything my bosses, everything that Sox management asked me to do along the way here over the last 4 years, that I had Bupkis to work with for the majority of that time, and we lost a bunch of games as they were essentially hoping we were going to do. And then once we got enough talent to actually start winning some games, I won some damn games. And I had the best record in the AL going for a minute. And then, yes, things fell apart in the final week. And yes, Luis Robert stopped hitting. And yes, Dallas Keuchel's back was all jacked up. But how much of that is on Ricky? Now, the bullpen concerns that are there, hey, man, I think that's valid. For me, I believe the way I view baseball, especially the manager in baseball, some of those player-dependent variables and the results associated with those, I think that, you know, Joe Maddon is a peak and a prime example of how the handling of a pitching staff, the handling of starting pitchers, are they pulled too quickly? Are they left in too long? Bullpen concerns for how do you actually parse through which matchup makes the most sense for your bullpen and when you put those individuals in the lineup. I think all that, when the player results aren't there, we will parse that with every single manager, even those who are winning, as we saw most readily on the north side of the city of Chicago right here with Joe Maddon in the midst of, on his way to winning a World Series, during his path of winning a World Series, and certainly in the time coming out of the historic World Series win for the Chicago Cubs a few seasons ago, Joe Maddon was never devoid of questions for how he managed things in-game and specifically with his pitching staff. So my case would not be that Rick Renteria is a flawless manager, that he is the perfect in-game manager. My question would be, what is the answer for how you bring a manager in who will be beyond reproach, who will be beyond question? I don't think that dude exists, and I think we just experienced that with the guy who won the World Series on the north side. That being said, I'm certainly fine with the Sox moving on from Rick Renteria. I'm just wondering, okay, so what's the next step here? What is the next phase of it? What is now no longer a rebuild? It has been rebuilt, past tense. Now you're looking at championship windows. Now you're looking at trying to actually win a World Series. Now, as Rick Hahn has talked about, you're looking at trying to have something that is sustainable at a high level that leads to consistent winning, perhaps multiple parades when parades are a thing again. Let's assume that parades will be allowed at some point in the not too distant future. When it's time to have some parades, man, all right, you want the Sox to be right there in that discussion to have parades on a regular basis. And, you know, obviously with Bob Nightingale, specifically the Tony La Russa portion of that story, I think it in a way speaks to what my concern would be about Rick Renteria, about the hiring and firing, the process that will now move forward with the Sox in their search for a manager. Because, I mean, yeah, Tony La Russa has won World Series, plural. He has been responsible for parades, plural. That's great. That has been in his past. It's been, what, since 2011, the last time he managed a baseball team. Dude just turned 76 years old. Actually, turned 76 on October 4th. So, hey, it's cool. It's my son's birthday. You know, so you heard me and Lawrence. You heard me and Loho talking about Bishop at the open of the show. He's a Libra. So I got no issue with Tony La Russa. My issue would be that if this is legit, if Tony La Russa is really the guy that they're looking to hire, that they're planning to hire, then I don't know, man, how much of an upgrade is that really? And beyond even being an upgrade, because, yeah, there's plenty of case to be made. Just say Tony La Russa is a better manager than Rick Renteria. All right, no doubt. Cool with that. But how does that legitimately modernize your baseball operation in the way that supposedly the ball club would be looking to do? Because if part of the issue with Rick Renteria was that his approach was dated, a little too old school, perhaps the management of the pitching staff, perhaps how he managed the lineup and set the lineup from one game to the next, if that didn't suit the way that Sox management really liked it, and honestly, to my understanding, from a couple of folks I've heard from who are close, who know Rick Renteria, I do think he, you know, supposedly, reportedly handled things in line with the way management wanted him to from that perspective, as far as who was on the field, who was taking the mound, who in game three was involved in the bullpen game and all those types of things. What does Tony La Russa necessarily give you at 76 years old, aside from his pedigree? Like, he's got that championship pedigree, but he's been, I'm not going to say out of the game, he hasn't managed since 2011. He's been in the game. He's been involved with some other organizations. But is he necessarily the one who's going to come in and modernize things for you, have this new approach, perhaps have kind of this Ivy League-esque approach, even if he, you know, isn't necessarily an Ivy Leaguer per se, or A.J. Hinch isn't an Ivy Leaguer per se. He's a Stanford guy, what, a psych major or something like that. So a highbrow type of individual, but I don't know if that's necessarily Tony La Russa. Now, he's won, but it feels hard to fathom that it's legit as far as the consideration of really hiring him. And he's had other opportunities to manage other ball clubs.
This seems like a Jerry Reinsdorf, hey, I'm still meddling with the White Sox type of stuff. That's why I can't outright dismiss Bob Nightingale's report. because we've seen it time and again where Jerry puts his hands on what the team is doing. And I am dumbfounded by his name even being brought up. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Zero sense at all.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it. If the notion is that we want to make sure folks know we're taking this seriously, and that, you know, to the point that Rick Hahn has made, and I'm sure you probably played it before. We can fire up the Rick Hahn audio here in a moment, just talking about what his preferences are for the next manager of the Sox and wanting someone with that winning pedigree. Yeah, Tony La Russa has the winning pedigree, but part of what Rick Hahn said, if I'm not mistaken, was that you'd like it to be involved in recent winning. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Herb. Let's fire that up, man. What did Rick Hahn say specifically about what they were looking for in the next manager?
This is an opportunity for us as an organization. We've obviously been somewhat insular in terms of our managerial hirings over the last several years. This is an opportunity for us to speak to individuals with other organizations that have had success and learn from them and get their outsider objective perspective on our organization. Ultimately, I think the best candidate or the ideal candidate is going to be someone who has experience with a championship organization in recent years. Recent October experience with a championship organization would be ideal. But we're going to keep an open mind. And over this next several weeks, we'll diligently pursue who's on our lists and go from there.
Recent October experience. So, I mean, there's not going to be anybody you can find who's got more overall October experience than Tony La Russa. I guess recent could maybe be subjective. Like maybe recent, maybe 2011 maybe feels recent to the White Sox, I guess, just depending on how you would necessarily view that term. It's open to interpretation. To me, not managing for the better part of a decade, that doesn't feel recent to me. And, you know, I don't necessarily consider myself an ageist. I think, as many of you know, one of my nicknames in college was Grandpa. So I've always been an old soul. But at 76 and having not managed for nearly a decade at this point, I'm not sure how Tony La Russa necessarily suits that. I mean, you know, if he came in and did the job. I mean, the thing is, I think whoever the White Sox next manager is will come in and win because they have players, and they're going to even add more players. Like, we presume Michael Kopech will come in, be mentally and physically healthy, and be your third starter at worst. Like, a guy with the talents of Michael Kopech as your number three, that just enhances everything we just saw the White Sox try to go through here. That just puts you in a position where, you know, like we just saw games replay out. They're like, we don't know who to put in there. All right, let's just throw a bunch of bullpen guys at him and hope for the best. They wouldn't necessarily be in that position with Michael Kopech within this battery of pitchers and catchers, because now you got three dudes you can throw at him, and that gives you, obviously, your best opportunity you could hope for in the postseason. I mean, legitimately, if you got at least two, in a perfect scenario, you have at least three starters that you can count on, that you feel great about taking the mound in postseason play. So that was one of the first things I said. I think it was one of the first things that I think literally as the season ended in Oakland, I think my first tweet was, all right, cool run. Good season, guys. You add Michael Kopech to this group and they really got something. So again, my case, my thought process isn't necessarily about whether or not Rick Renteria is a flawless baseball manager. I don't necessarily think those exist. I could be wrong, but in the end, I believe that if they hire some representative managerial candidate, they will come in and win with this club. Rick Renteria won this past season with this club, and the next manager will come in and win with this club. I'm just wondering about the candidates here, because the main two names we're hearing right now are Tony La Russa, you know, for however you feel about that. Most folks not too stoked about it. But then also AJ Hinch. And what I'm curious about, Herb, is, and you were talking about this a little bit last week, if AJ Hinch is worthy of consideration, then why should Alex Cora or Carlos Beltran? Why should those guys necessarily be eliminated from the discussion then? Like, why are they unapproachable if AJ Hinch is? Like, that seems to be a disconnect, and I think the way that these individuals are being perceived